Let us hear how God speaks to us through his words in Scripture. Hearing first the 91st Psalm, a statement of confidence in God even in the midst of troubles. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and has sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Symbols of our society's stability were taken out by terrorists. And we witnessed the worst that people can do. And illusions of safety in this world were shaken. Lives were lost. Others were forever changed by this event. And in the years since that time, we have had time to mourn our casualties and our loss of innocence. We have seen forces mustered. We have seen plowshares beaten into swords more than we have seen swords beaten into plowshares. We have seen some people make renewed commitment to what is good and honorable. And we have seen some people succumb to the type of hatred and prejudice that can roll around our heads and eat holes in our hearts. So in the midst of this, the first thing I want to ask you to keep in mind is the phrase skitana. It stands for secure control of air traffic and navigation aids, which may not say much to you either. But 20 years ago, for the first time ever, the FAA grounded all civilian air traffic for the sake of security. In the face of a threat, they went to the ground. In the same way, we Christians are challenged to practice a spiritual skitana, to go to the ground, to the bedrock of our faith when we see such things happening. So I want to look at four words that are part of the ground of our faith, our Reformed faith. They will be creation, covenant, Christ, and church. So yes, much like Sesame Street, the next portion of the sermon is brought to you by the letter C. First, there's creation. The very first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The universe is a gift of an intentional, purposeful, order-making God. And all of this is God's. And in the midst of God's creation, we can believe and trust that in the face of terror, the Creator still holds that creation, and all lives within it are assured of God's ultimate triumph. Or we can give in to fear and despair, living as if God had left the building. And that choice is the ongoing challenge of faith and why we return to the ground of a Creator God. The second C today is covenant. Now, covenant is a binding agreement, and the biblical covenant is the binding agreement between God and God's people. God formed a covenant with Moses at Sinai. Jesus at the Last Supper said, "I bring you a new covenant." And in each case, the substance of that covenant was God's love. The covenant says, "I will be your God, you will be my people." Or as John the Apostle phrased it this morning, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another." Think back on 9/11, think about tragedies that have hit us and this world since that time. And remember the prayer services, the candlelight vigils, because people need to love their God. And people need to feel a sense of God's love coming to them. People need to love people, lest hatred mar the skyline of our soul, no less than the tower's collapse marred the Manhattan skyline. Third, there is Christ. Because despite the presence of the original covenant, people couldn't get it right on their own. We saw and still see all too clearly the reality of sin's continuing power in human life, in my life and in your life and elsewhere. More was needed to bring us fully back to God. And in the first chapter of John's Gospel, we read, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." The Word, the covenant spelled out, was wrapped up in a person and came to life in Jesus Christ, God's love lived out before us. Yes, there is sin, but its defeat is sure in Christ. We can grow in grace and Christ-like behavior as we are forgiven and renewed. We need not be defined only by anger, only by hatred in the aftermath of evil, because sin is around, but Christ's presence and strength is assured. The last C I want to remind you of this morning is church. Now, in Skatana, there are two aspects. One is the grounding of civilian aircraft, and so too in a spiritual Skatana, we ground ourselves again in our faith and our history as a body of Christ. The second part of Skatana is the taking off of military aircraft to oppose the threat that is out there. As Christians, we are challenged in a spiritual Skatana to allow the church then to lift off as a vehicle of Christ's ministry, love, and grace. We, the church, are called to continue lifting off as vehicles of grace, even in the face of violence that threatens and has continued to erupt, and deaths that do continue within our world. But we are fueled by Christ's grace, and that gives us hope. Shortly after the original 9/11 attack, columnist Stephen Gould wrote the following: "Good and kind people outnumber all others by thousands to one. The tragedy of human history lies in the enormous potential for destruction in the rarer acts of evil, not in the high frequency of evil people. Complex systems can only be built step by step, whereas destruction requires but an instant. Thus, in what I like to call the great asymmetry, every spectacular incident of evil will be balanced by 10,000 acts of kindness throughout people's daily lives, too often unnoticed and invisible as the ordinary efforts of a vast majority. We have a duty," he said, "almost a holy responsibility to record and honor the victorious weight of those innumerable little kindnesses when an unprecedented act of evil so threatens to distort our perception of ordinary human behavior." Like John wrote in his letter, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We love because he first loved us." So I'm not, in response to incidents like this, I won't choose nihilistic fear. Not while I believe in the love of God in Jesus Christ, the Lord who defeated sin and death. Evil rages, but in the end, it's pathetic. I want us all to engage in an act of spiritual Skatana today. You have your post-it notes? Okay. While I'm talking through the rest of this sermon, you have my permission. I want you to write on a note acts of kindness, random acts of kindness, racks, that you may have seen, done, or received recently, that you can remember happening. And then later, as a hymn is sung after the sermon, I invite you to bring your post-it notes up, put them on the 9/11 remembrance poster up here, so that we can see just how well acts of kindness can offset one act of evil. So by all means, let us name evil for what it is. Let's root out the sin that is around and within us. Let us let Jesus into our hearts, and let us turn eyes towards Jesus' light, lest we become so consumed by the effects of evil that we miss the chance to be kind to a stranger. We miss the chance to stop and read to our kids. We miss a chance to notice how acts of beauty and kindness outnumber acts of evil by the thousands. Because in doing so, if we don't do that, we will hand evil a bigger victory than it earned, when in fact, in Christ, it is already lost. Because I know that in the same 24-hour news cycle of 9/11 that repeated the viewing of what had happened, the planes and the collapse, in that same 24-hour news cycle, babies were born, people fell in love, someone accompanied another to a doctor's visit, a police officer elsewhere defused a domestic quarrel, someone put an old lady's shopping cart back for her. Casseroles were brought to the homebound, prayers were said, volunteers answered fire calls, someone lost sleep staying up to help an ailing friend. Little girls made new friends, and someone paid for the coffee of the person behind them in line. And flowers were brought, touching lives, and EMTs saved a life, and children made perfectly misspelled happy birthday cards, and people made up. And every second of every day, our Lord arrives unannounced in the merciful and loving random acts of kindness of other people. In the midst of single acts of evil, I want to be a warrior of 10,000 random acts of kindness. For when our pain is transferred into empathy and sympathy, into acts of peace, compassion, justice, and love, when we take flight to perform such acts, we see the power that God showed in Jesus Christ, the power to bring life out of death. So as we sing the next hymn, which we'll use throughout this month of recognition of service, bring your notes up and let us see how small acts of kindness can equal or even cover over great acts of evil. Amen.